Composer Charles Frederick Winger has had an interesting career in music. He was born in 1961, and his parents were both jazz musicians. With his older brothers, he was in a rock band about as soon as he could walk. It was the influence of his family's diverse taste and the classical music that he heard in ballet class that inspired him to become a composer. He went by the name of Kip when he founded the hard rock band Winger in the late 80s, and he's been writing and performing ever since. The results of the latest chapter in Kip Winger's musical career will be heard this weekend as George Hanson leads the Tucson Symphony Orchestra in performance of Ghosts. It's the debut of Kip's orchestral work, and I started by asking him to tell us how it all came to be.
I originally wrote the piece as a ballet piece for a choreographer named Christopher Wheeldon, and he's a well-known ballet choreographer in the ballet world. Came from originally England and then New York City Ballet, and now he runs his own company called Morphosis, but he gets a lot of commissions. So he heard the first movement that I wrote. He's using it for San Francisco Ballet in February 2010. But I played it for the composer in residence here, Dan Coleman, who loved it, and played it for George Hanson, who asked me if we could, they wanted to use it for this performance. And I was shocked by that. That's an even higher honor for me because it's, you know, being performed on the merit of the music alone rather than the dance. So it's very surreal to me because I've wanted to do orchestral music my whole life during my rock life. And I always approached my rock albums the way I did, very orchestrative, not jamming at all. It was all very tight-knit recording and arranging. So, you know, like I say, it's very surreal. I'm really thankful for it, and it's a great experience.
When you were first starting to compose Ghosts, how did you envision the piece? What was the origin?
This is a funny story. I was sitting, working in Nashville. I live in Nashville. So I was working in a building that used to be a hospital in like the 20s. And it was very mystical. I was working on some themes, and I kept feeling like there were ghosts in the room. And really, quite simply, the term ghost came to me. And then the personalities started coming alive in the characters of the music. And then, it kind of went from there. I just developed it from all the mystical feelings that were happening around me, whether it was my own imagination or if they were really there, I couldn't tell you. But, you know, that's kind of how the process happened.
What kind of an ensemble did you compose Ghosts to be performed by?
String orchestra, piano, and harp. So I actually recorded the piece in New York with 28 strings and piano and harp, so it was 30 people, which is very similar to the size it'll be here in Tucson.
Are there instruments that you find it more difficult or less difficult to compose for?
I guess horn writing would be more difficult, I would say, just because it's difficult not to make them sound clumsy. But in this case, there aren't any horns. I was very inspired by this composer named Arthur Honegger. His Third Symphony is like my favorite piece of music of all time. But his Second Symphony is a string orchestra, and that was kind of my template for this piece, only that's pure strings without the piano or the harp. So I kind of was influenced by that on this.
What kind of goals are you setting yourself as a composer now?
It's interesting. I've had a lot of really highs in my career, highs and lows, actually, but I've had a lot of amazing things happen. This is the most amazing thing, to have a really good orchestra play your stuff off the merit of the music. Of course, my goals would be to write more pieces and get them played more, you know, but I don't set myself up in that way. I just do my best and try to write the best music that I can. That's really the key. The music is really going to be the thing that makes or breaks what I'm doing. So I don't think about it in a commercial sense.
You know, I was really interested to find out that in the early parts of your career, you worked not only with Alan Parsons, but also with Alice Cooper. I don't know if you want to talk about that right now.
Oh,
what,
sure.
What would you tell us about being in Alice Cooper's band? How old were you when that gig came?
That was one of the luckiest things that happened to me. I was 22. I'd just moved to New York, and the band that I'd grown up with, we had broken up. I had a friend who was becoming a successful producer, and he called me up to play bass on four songs on an Alice Cooper record he was doing. And I mean, I was a huge Alice Cooper fan, and I knew a lot about Alice Cooper, and you know, jumped at the chance to go up there and record. And he was working with a guy on guitar named Kane Roberts. And between the two of them, it was just a barrel of laughs. I mean, they're two of the funniest people on the planet. And Alice is brilliant, very, very funny guy.
Well, and, yeah, a lot of people may have a perception of him as being, you know, the kind of carny rocker,
Kind
of thing. But when you hear him talk about music or any other field, he's a really savvy guy.
Very, very. Yeah, and it was so, to answer your question, I got in. I just had mentioned to him, if they go out on tour, I'd love to go, you know, and I was lucky, and they called me up. So it was really like walking out of Waiting Tables into full-on rock star, like within a three-month period. And I got to watch him and how he handled interviews, performing live, touring, you know, everything. And it was like going to, you know, getting your master's degree in rock star.
Was there anything you wanted to mention in the interview before we close it up?
Just that I'm happy to be here. And for anybody that's listening to this, please, you know, come out and support the arts, because more than just seeing my piece of music, you know, in Europe, they fund the arts a lot more than they do in America. And it's very important for us to stay in touch with the arts in America, and for people to, you know, connect emotionally to the arts, because it's easy to forget. And, you know, I don't have that much money this weekend or whatever, but it really is the glue to the community. And from a universal point of view, you know, music is a universal language, and it can speak to everybody. So in general, I would say, you know, come out and check it out, because I don't think you'll be disappointed.
The Tucson Symphony Masterworks Chamber Orchestra presents C.F. Winger's new composition, Ghosts, and the music of Mendelssohn and Haydn, in performance Saturday, November 14th at 8 p.m., with a matinee performance at Catalina Foothills High School on Sunday at 2. We have a link for the complete schedule on the radio page at azpm.org. And we'll have more Arizona Spotlight right after this break.